Okay, Shalom uvracha Rabbeisai, this evening, Be'ezras Hashem, we're starting Siman Yud Zayin, a new Siman. Last night we did Siman Tes Zayin, which was the size that the talis has to be. And now, moving on, Siman Yud Zayin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mihem HaChayovim B'Tzitzis, who is obligated to wear tzitzis? Afal Gav, says the Shulchan Aruch in Aleph, even though the Sivur Isem Oysoy, and you should see them. Nevertheless, sumachayv b'tzitzis, a blind person who nebuch isn't able to see, is still obligated to wear tzitzis. Why? Because there's an extra riboy, there's an extra phrase, which is, we have a mesorah from the Torah Shebaal Peh, that this is coming to include something else. And the phrase, asher tachasebo, that you will cover yourself with it, is a riboy, and that comes to include the blind person, even though they can't see it. Okro or isem, huh? Oh, we'll see that also. Yes, okro de or isem oisoy. It's drich lamait ksus laila ayin lekamon simon yudches, and we will see it further later that the pasuk or isem oisoy, and you shall see it, which seems to be only it. There's a miut over here that we are excluding something that is coming to say that a ksus laila, a garment that you wear at night. PJ tzitzis. You have a pajama tzitzis and you wouldn't go around in those in that garment during the daytime. So then that would be excluded from the mitzvah of tzitzis, even though it has dalet kanfus. Says the Mishnah Berurah Tzivkot and Aleph Chayiv b'tzitzis, that the garment of a blind person is chayiv in tzitzis. A poshut yochel levarich gam kein alehen, and he can make the brocha on tzitzis. Ach sheyivdeik oison mitzachilo b'shimash yodov o yivakesh la'acher levodkom. We know that you have to make sure that your tzitzis are kosher. So therefore, a person who nebuch is blind, they should make sure, using their koyach hamishush, their ability of touch, their sense of touch, to see whether the tzitzis is kosher, or failing that, get somebody else to check it for them. You know, a person, nebuch, who's blind, they have other heightened senses, and it's unbelievable what they are able to sense using their fingers and so on and so forth. But they're here, they would have to do this or ask somebody else to. So a blind person's garment is chayv in tzitzis, but not kusus lailo, a garment that is worn at night. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Beis Va'asvara no senis l'rabim kusus sumo l'may kusus lailo. 1 minute. You've got one riboy and one miut. So you add something and you take away something. Who says you're supposed to add the garment of a blind person and detract the garment which is specifically for the night? Maybe it should be the other way around. No. Because of what Rabbi Yossi said, Mishum dechsus sumo yeshnoi al kol ponim b'ri'i etzel acherim. Because the garment of a blind person, true, he can't see it, but at that very same time, everybody else is able to see it. So therefore, when it says that there's something which is to be included, it would include the garment of a blind person. Aval ksus laila eina b'ri'i etzel acherim. But a garment, a nighttime garment, is not something which is visible by others. Again, in our society, laila kayom to'ir, that, you know, the night, things are very, very bright, and you've got your street lamps, and we all have our electric light. But when a person is in the countryside, and it's a cloudy night, and it's very, very dark out there, so then that's what real night is. And so this is just an example that ksus laila eina b'ri'i etzel acherim. At that time, other people cannot see it either. Okay.
Actually, seeing that reminds you of the mitzvah, because also feeling, it's the same thing. It's the fact that the beged is on you that gives you the morises.
Yeah, that Ria brings you to things. Interesting.
Well, some can't, but they can feel it. They're still aware that they have the
really. It's very good. So you're giving an extra reason why it is that despite the Re'isem Oysoy, even without the Re'isem Oysoy, it can still have the same effect. I see. Yeah. And they feel that they're conscious still of the mitzvah Sasha.
Well, somebody who's blind, you could argue, doesn't need that extra protection because they don't have the problem with Shmuris at night.
Certainly one of the features that the tzitzis is there as a segula to help with these things. True. Everyone has their own nisyonos. That's a very, very good question. Yeah, I suppose since it's miyuchad for Laila, so that's the reason that. Yeah.
If you have jobs in the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If
I think more will be explained. Okay, base. Now here is a very, very contentious issue over here. Okay, Rabbi Isai? Very, very delicate issue over here. One of the strangest things that a Torah Dikayid sees, and we can often see a lot of strange things, is if a person sees, you know, these reform women with their couples and their tzitzis on, it's like an unbelievable thing. You see,
Every Rosh Chodesh of the Kotel.
You know, the men, the Heimish men are trying to get out of it. Okay. Right, because the parting is so. okay, so let's see inside the halacha lemaisa be'ezras Hashem. So the Shulchan Aruch says noshim va'avodim peturim, women and avodim a potah. Because tzitzis is a positive, time-bound mitzvah, because Lila loves one tzitzis, because nighttime is not a time of tzitzis. Now, I don't want to go further before I just explain this, that even though you have these two groups in the same sentence, noshim va'avodim, we'll see why the same halacha applies to each of them, that there's a limud that avodim have the same status in terms of positive time-bound mitzvahs as women do, but just to be very crystal clear that that these are...
They can each drive.
And that these happen to be halachically put together in the same clause over here, because the same halachas apply to them in this case, but that these are not normally put together in a hashkafa. Next, okay? So they are potah because mitzvah say it's a positive time-bound mitzvah. Now let's see what the Ramah says. Hagor, mikol mokum imreitzim la'atfai ulevorich olov, harishus biyodon, k'moy bishar mitzvah sasei shazman groma. So his first point, quoting the Tosfos and the Rosh and the Ran, is that, look, just like if they want to listen to a shofar, if they want to shake their species on Sukkos, if they want to do any of the mitzvahs asei shazman groma, they can. So too here, if they want to put on some tzitzis, they want to put on a talus, yeah, because into height, they can. That's the first thing that he says. Then he says, quoting the Ogur, ach, however, mechze ki yuaro, it looks like you're trying to go beyond your status and show off. It looks like you're being, you're flaunting it, and you're trying to make out that your SSDRF super duper real from it by doing such a thing. He says that, look, it's different than all of the other mitzvahs. The other mitzvahs, men have to hear shofar, have to sit in a sukkah, have to shake the arba minim. So women, also, they want to do this mitzvah gesenza height. When it comes to tzitzis, technically speaking, men are only mechuyev to wear tzitzis if they have a four-cornered garment. We know, of course, that now it's like chukas aguin not to, and we know it's a great shmira, but technically speaking, min ha-Torah, it's a chuyevas gavro. It's not something which you would have to do independently. If the person has a four-cornered garment, then you put tzitzis on. And that's why, says the Ramah, that this is different than all other positive time-bound mitzvahs. That's what the Ogur is saying over here, that if men do it, we are upgrading, we're giving ourselves this chiyuv to do by wearing the four-cornered garment. Women, they're doing two stages, right? And that's the mechzi kiyor of it. They're not obligated like men. And even for men, it's only if you have the four-cornered garment. And therefore, it's like it's showing off and trying to be holier than thou by doing it. And therefore, the Ogur says that they shouldn't. Wearing a four-cornered garment, gazinta height. Correct. If they have a poncho, a large scarf with a hole in it that they'd wear like tzitzis, no problem. So then he says, Ula kamon basimun yud tes omar kushiyesh loy talis me'arba kan feis ulevashoy. As later, it will say that for a man, it's if you have a four-cornered garment and you wear it, that's when you put the tzitzis on. Yeah, as opposed to actually actively having to go out and get it. And that's why for women it would be this super upgrade to do it, and that's merci kiyora, it's like showing off.
But it's not like that nowadays.
So even though nowadays we have taken it upon ourselves and it's become upgraded still, as far as the ogor remains, it would still be considered merci kiyora because the core chiyuv was not like that. Then he says, tumtum of androgynous, chayovin misofek v'yatfu v'yisatfu b'loy brocha, that if there's a tumtum or an androgynous which are pirush, the explanation is tumtum lo neidem huzocha in a keva, a tumtum, it's not clear whether he is a male or a female because it's covered up, the area where it should be visible if he's a zachor in a cave is covered. Of androgynous, sheish say zachrus unake v'nakvus, and an androgynous has simonim of both, that he has an aver and also a hole there, and so therefore he has simonim of both. So therefore, it's a sofek. Is he a male? Is he a female? So he's chayo, so he should put on talis, should put on tzitzis, but without a bracha. I had a rebbe in school who told us that he was at a bris of somebody who is an androgynous, who had zachrus for nekevus. I know, I have a lot of people in my address book. I know a lot of people. I have a very wide circle of friends. At least I'm not aware that I know of any androgynous in myself. But this Rebbe of mine told us that he was at a bris of one. Again, I look back now, I wonder whether he really was or he wasn't. But he may well have been. Anyway, so he continues over here. The Ramah continues now. Hagol afima shenagu, Noshim levarach mitzvah seishavaz man gromo gam heim yivarachu. And according to our custom, that women do make a bracha on shofar, they do make a bracha on lulav. So therefore, a tumtum and androgynous also, even though they're not absolutely, even though it's only a sofek, still they can make a bracha when they do. Okay, let's see. The Mishnah Berurah says the Mishnah Berurah sifkotan aleph. Sorry, says the Mishnah Berurah sifkotan gimel. Shazman gromo, that women are exempt because it is a positive time-bound mitzvah. Tobalayla lavzman tzitzis hu, because nighttime is not a time of tzitzis. V'chol mitzvah seishmazan gromo noshim p'turis mehen afilu midrabonon, and all positive time-bound mitzvahs, women are exempt even midrabonon. So the Chazal never said, well, you're not mechuv d'oraisa, but you should still do it. They didn't say that. So now we're going to go on a few stage journey. Why is it that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs? So stage one is that we know that the whole Torah, that every mitzvah is compared to tefillin. All of the Torah, all the mitzvahs in the Torah compared to tefillin, because it says in order that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth, that's speaking about tefillin. So we have a link now between Kol HaTorah Kula and tefillin. And just like women are potter from tefillin, how do we know that they're potter from tefillin? Because tefillin itself is compared to Talmud Torah, as it says, regarding Talmud Torah, v'shinantam levonecho, you should teach it to your sons, v'lo levonecho, and not to your daughters. Kein paturis mikol mitzvah sasheh shezman gromo, so too they're exempt from all positive time-bound mitzvahs, yeah? So they're exempt from Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is connected to tefillin. Tefillin is connected to Kol HaTorah Kula, and therefore all positive time-bound mitzvahs, just like they're exempt from Talmud Torah, so they're also exempt from tefillin and all other things in the same category as tefillin, which are positive time-bound mitzvahs. Now, does this mean that women are on a lower level because they do not have to do this? So the Sifrei Kabbalah, there's a sefer from one of the Munkacha Rebbes. I can't remember now what it's called. Could be, can't remember. I think maybe no, you're right. No, it's not that one. But I saw it once, that he says there are two schools of thought. One school of thought is that they are exempt because they are in a higher madriga than men. Just like if you go to a doctor and you tell one person do 5 minutes of exercise a day and another one 20 minutes of exercise a day, the one who has to do 20 minutes of exercise a day obviously is in a worse shape and he needs to shape up more, and men have more mitzvahs because we have to shape up more and bring ourselves closer to Hashem. And that's one school of thought. And there's other school of thought that it's fakert, But there are these two ways of looking at it, and you can choose which one, you know, to tell your wife and your mother. Moving on. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, Va'avodim yalfinim b'gzeira shova, lo me'isho, to call mitzvah, she'isho p'tura gama eved potter, that because we have the word lo in the context of avodim, and also lo in the context of isho, so there is a link over here, gzeira shova, and therefore anything that the isho is exempt from, so too the eved is exempt from. In a sefer on tefillah, I think it was Tefillah Kilchos, or it could have been Halichas Bas Yisrael, it mentions over there the son of the Chofetz Chaim. And he says, I remember when I was younger, my mother never davened. I wouldn't say such a thing had I not actually seen it inside. So I remember when I was younger, my mother never davened. When I got older and she had more time, so then she was able to, she had more time on her hands, so then I used to see her davening. But when I was younger, I don't remember, maybe, I'm sure she said a small tefillah, you know, of a Shevach, a Bakosha, and a Hidor, but that's the concept. Mitzvah Sase Shazman Groma, they are busy serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other ways. Dalud Ulevare Cholov. So if they want, the Ramah had told us that if they want to put tzitzis on, nope, then Harishus B'yadon, they can. And they could even make a bracha on the tzitzis. Because even if you're not obligated to do a mitzvah, you do get a schar for doing it. And you can say, "V'tzivonu, you've commanded us, given shohanoshim, shohanoshim nitztavu, gam him yesh lehem schar." You can also say, "V'tzivonu," because as part of Klal Yisrael, we were all commanded, and we all get schar. So therefore, if they want to, the first chitter, which is Tosfos, they can do it. And they would get, and they make a broch on it, and they would get a sechar. Now, in footnote number one, he brings from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Halicha Shlema, Peri Gimel in Tefillah. He says that look, it's a masculine garment, and in fact, the Lavush says in Simon Beis, and also the Targum Yonis and Ben Oziel, when it says Leyekli Gever Al Isha, when it says that a woman should not wear a man's clothing, the Targum says Leyek. Goylin the tzitzis the tefillin the inun tikuni gever al itzo. It says there that it is considered a male garment, and therefore now women should not wear it. So how could the Ramah tell us over here that if they want to, then they are allowed to? So the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that's davke in a place where the derech would be to put tzitzis on their shawls, but to actually wear a male talis would definitely be osa because it's klei geva al isha, because it's wearing a male garment. So what the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even the shitta that says that they can, is only to wear it as sort of a feminine femtalis, rather than actually the male version. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ve'enai chayvas gavro. What I was very, very surprised about in footnote 2, yeah, very, very surprised. Okay, we'll do Dalit in a second. Yeah, I did Dalit. Yeah, so in footnote 2, yeah, that they get schar for it. In footnote 2, he says at the end of footnote 2, we've just said that even if they are not mitzvah, if they do it, they get schar. In footnote 2, towards the bottom, he says, V'goy ha-makayim mitzvah, das ha-goyin u-shem u-zalman urbach, sha'av al-bi sheish le schar mekol makum ein hu shayach ba'amiris v'tzivonu. That a non-Jew who does mitzvahs can't say v'tzivonu because they weren't commanded, but they do get schar. I was very, very shocked to see that a non-Jew who does it can get schar. There is a well-known female musician that I was told by someone who knew her bodyguard that she keeps kosher, mamish as Gentile as they come, that she keeps, she and her husband, I don't know if it's a husband, partner, chvais, keep kashrus, right? They have kosher meat wherever they go, and he, and sometimes she wears tefillin, yeah? A very, very well-known manuveles. So the unbelievable thing that he's saying over here, that they do get schar for such a thing. I was shocked to see that Shlomo Zalman Orbach says they get schar. I haven't seen anybody here who argues, but certainly very, very, I'm not aware that that's mainstream. I don't know, then it's in Mexico, you are wrong. Okay, next. Hey, the Eino Chivas Gavro. Right? So we see that for a woman, it's Mechzi Kiyuaro, says the Ogur. He doesn't like this first chitta. And he says, look, nowadays, they shouldn't because it's a double upgrade. Yes, the Ramah says, Imreitzim la'atzvay ulevorei cholav harshus biyod. And according to the first year, they make a bracha as well. Yeah, like doing a mitzvah. Yeah, and they get the and he said in Dalit that you can save a tzivonu since the men are commanded. So as part of Klal Yisrael, they could even say a bracha. Hey, ve'ena chivas gavra, but the Ogur says that this is really too far, because even for men, they're not absolutely obligated. But zematar it's the mavarchus anoshim alulav toho gam kain mitzvahs ase shazman groma. Right? Why is it that we encourage the women to shake the lulav, and for Ashkenazi women even to make a bracha, whereas the Ogur is discouraging women to wear tzitzis? But teres shani hocha she'ena chivas gavra. The difference here is that here even a man is not absolutely obligated to sha'afilu ish ein lof chiyuv d'oraisa liknos talas basar b'kanofes, because a man isn't obligated to go out of his way and buy a four-cornered garment. But if he does have a four-cornered garment, he puts it on. He has to put tzitzis on. Mashen kein lulav the gabe ish who chivas gavra. Of course, a man has to use his shake his arba minim shu chivas aguf. V'da, and you should know further, says the Mishnah Berurah, the anan paskinon gabe tzitzis chivas gavra v'lav chivas gavra v'travay lukula. This concept of the chivas gavra, that a man is obligated to do such a thing. On the one hand it is, on the one hand it isn't, and both of these are lekula, they both tend to a leniency. Chovas gavra lekula, lemu'utei chovas mono, shekolz man she'enu leiva shatalis, al bi she'eshtei arba kanofes p'tura mitzitzis. It's a chovas gavra on the one hand, that it's only when a man wears it that he's obligated to have tzitzis on it. If you have a talis at home, it's not like having a house that needs a mezuzah. If you own the house, you put a mezuzah on it, even if you're not living there right now. But rather, if you've got a four-cornered garment that's on your table or that's in your drawer, you do not need to put tzitzis on, because it is a chayvas kavra. On the other hand, lav chayvas kavra, it's not a chayvas kavra, she'en a chayv liknos eitalis kadei she'eschayv b'tzitzis, because you're not obligated min ha-Torah to buy a four-cornered garment in order to obligate yourself in tzitzis. Rakim yesh eitaz ma'abak nafay selavoshoy olayvshoy oschayv b'tzitzis. Just if you have one, then you should put the tzitzis on. I and Simon, your test, which we'll see as we go later, other details over here. Now, the bottom line over here, even though we've seen two shittas, we've seen the Rosh, the Tosfos, and then we've seen the Ogur, in the Piskei Tshuvos, he comes down very, very hard that nowadays the Gedolei HaPoskim, the Shutz Ma'aril, and many, many others, the Aruch HaShulchan, they all say that. It is absolutely forbidden nowadays for women to wear tzitzis because of lo yekli gever al isha. Huh? And he says over here also that particularly nowadays that this has become something that is the minhag hareformim, oikre hados, but that's in the name of the halacha brus of cotton base, that definitely now we shouldn't. It's an interesting, fascinating thing. He brings from the Ma'aril in Hilchas Tzitzis. They asked him, why is it you allow your wife, Moras Brunio, that she goes around the whole time in a talus cotton? Yeah? They asked the Ma'aril, why do you allow your wife to go around in a talus cotton? So he says in footnote number 2 in the Pisgei Jewelry, he says, Vaheshiv, Shema Eina Maksheveshli, Umutav Yushoygin. She loves it so much, she's not going to listen. Better she should be doing it b'shoygeg rather than me ushering her. So I don't know what it's like at home by you, but this is a very, very interesting nukuda over here. Okay, moving on swiftly. Chayovin misofek vov. So we say a tumtum and an androgynous should put it on. Sofek Torah lechumra, because it is, they might be male, they might have the halachic status of a male, and so it's a sofek dorai. So we should be stringent. Ken kozu beis Yosef. Or mashmam, he said, adovah shiuchum rak midrabonon again talis she'ulach ashtei shemeim. If you have a talis that you're only wearing where the chiyuv is midrabonon, for example, one that doesn't belong to you, you borrowed it. So after 30 days, midrabonon, they say you should put tzitzis on. V'kanal b'simon yudalit. A beged shiuchiv rak mitam sofek, or another beged where Chazal said you should put tzitzis on, but it's misofek. For example, going beged shechetzi b'sof chetzi yisos v'kanal b'simon yud sif zayin, that we saw where it's like a vest tzitzis which is split up the sides exactly 50% 50% and not a majority. They said it's a sofek. Put tzitzis on. It's a chiv midrabon. All these cases, since it's a sofek derabonon. Rishon Lelech Bebulei Tzitzis. So if you do wear one of those four-cornered garments, then... so that's why the Tumtum and Androgynous, the Shulchan Aruch says, don't make a bracha. And in the other cases where the Chiv is Midrabonon, yeah, Or mitam sofek, he says that actually Rishan Lelech Bebele Tzitzis, you could go without the Tzitzis. Fine, Prim Begodim Shkos of Oid Ke'ainzev, but Ulai Diesh Lahachim, Bechosim and Emaris Ha'ayin, Kadi Isa Shom, Besif Ches. Even though I've just told you that strictly speaking, in a sofek Darabonim, you could go Lakula, nevertheless, because of Maras Ayin, better to be Machmir in these cases, in these sofek cases, and put Tzitzis on. Now, the Shulchan Aruch told us Tumtum and Androgynous. Should put this should put tzitzis on, but it should be without a bracha. Says the Mishnah Brura in Zion below bracha. Given the ikar achiyuv hurak mishum sveika, le'inyan bracha shumid rabbanon azina beilakula. The whole reason they're wearing this is mitam sofek and sofek bracha lahokel. So therefore, they should wear it, but they shouldn't make a bracha on it. Va'ayin lekamon b'simin shin zayin. But Mishnah Brura mashe nichtoiv shom mitzay shem kama klolim. B'shem ha-poiskim bozeh. We'll see a few more details regarding that later. Zachris v'nakvus, that they have, the androgynous, has some male and some female aspects. Hugam keik sofek zachar o inakev ayim say zachayim shevi rayab mikam ha-mukaymeis tefaskin ha-kein ha-alocha du begedeh sofek. This androgynous is indeed considered of dubious gender, as opposed to the shitta that says that it's a standalone creature. It's not that it's a sofek, but it's a standalone multi-gendered being. Rather, no, it's a sofek zocher, sofek nekeva. Okay, we have to stop over here.